Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, April 20, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, on this great victory day, we are studying passages that are most powerful in the word of God, revealing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that resurrection of Jesus Christ means and stands for. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ performed many miraculous signs demonstrating that he is indeed the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior who went to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin so that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. He did miracle after miracle after miracle. The turning of the water into wine in John 2, 1 through 11. The healing of the royal official's son, John 4, 46 to 54. The many times he healed the sick as miraculous signs, John 6, 1 and 2. The feeding of the 5,000 was a miraculous sign, John 6, verses 3 to 14. The healing of the man that was born blind was a miraculous sign, John 9, 1 through 38. We noted that in the first class. Now, the Jews wanted to know by what right Jesus was teaching contrary to all the religious leaders, contrary to the Pharisees, contrary to the scribes. They wanted to know in whose name and what credentials he was teaching contrary to the scribes and the Pharisees. They wanted to know through what power he was teaching contrary to the religious leaders. And after all of these miraculous signs that Jesus Christ performed, these religious leaders still refused to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They refused to believe that he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Instead, they wanted to see greater signs, more miraculous signs. And that continuing demand for a sign by the religious leaders of Christ's day was the epitome of arrogance and hypocrisy. They implied that all of the other miracles that Jesus performed were not really miracles at all. Their continued asking for a sign indicated that they were not impressed by the miracles that Christ performed, nor were they positive to the teaching of Jesus Christ. They said no to Christ as their Savior. They said no to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So So a couple of things to pull that together. One, I want you, well, first of all, turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, verse 5. Romans 2, verse 5. Romans 2:5 says, but because of your stubbornness, you might have the word stubbornness, the word is sclerotes in the Greek, which means scar tissued. Because of your scar tissued and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. This characterizes the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes in Jesus' day. The religious leaders had scar-tissued and unrepentant hearts. They rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. They didn't believe in Him. They, in fact, wanted to kill Him. Point two. Jesus Christ, therefore, declared that a reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for a sign. And we see this in a couple passages in Matthew. I want you to turn, first of all, over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll start at verse 38, and we see the religious leaders again. These are the ones that rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They did not believe in Him as their Savior. Verse 38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign. Well, He has done one after another. We studied those in the first class. We want to see another miraculous sign from you. And Jesus answered, you might have the word wicked. That's a reversionistic. A reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for a miraculous sign. But none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, starting at verse 1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, these are the religious leaders in the Lord Jesus Christ's day, they came to Jesus, and look, they tested Him. They tested Him by asking Him to show them a sign from heaven. And Jesus replied, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. So you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on looking for a miraculous sign. But none will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. None will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And that is, you put me to death. You put me in the grave for 3 days. And 3 days later, I will rise from the grave. The only sign I'm going to give you is the greatest sign of all. My resurrection from the dead. 3 days later. That's the sign of Jonah. So point three, he declared that no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. And this today is Resurrection Day, Victory Day. This is the sign of Jonah Day. No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. For the Lord Jesus Christ was clear and concise and condemning. He was clear, concise, and condemning. The miraculous signs are over except for the greatest miraculous sign of all, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ was clear and concise and condemning. The miraculous signs are over, except for the greatest miraculous sign of all time, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, had they responded to Jesus Christ and His grace and truth of the Word of God, they would have known by what right, in whose name, with what credentials, and through what power He was ministering. Had they responded with positive volition and believed in Jesus Christ, they would know that Jesus is the Messiah. They would know that Jesus is the Son of God. They would know that Jesus is the only Savior. Five, the religious leaders had prostituted themselves by substituting religious traditions of men for the absolute truth of the Word of God. The religious leaders had prostituted themselves by substituting the religious traditions of men for the absolute truth of the Word of God. Sixth, they were unfaithful to the living and true God and the absolute truth of the Word of God. They were unfaithful to the living and true God, Jesus Christ, and the absolute truth of His Word. They said no to Jesus Christ as their Savior. They refused to believe in Him. Seven. Therefore, the only sign that the Lord Jesus Christ would give was the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah. Matthew 12:39, Matthew 16:4. The only sign that the Lord Jesus Christ would give was the sign of Jonah. In other words, point eight. Jesus Christ declared that the sign to authenticate that He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, was this. You put me to death, and on the third day, I will rise from the grave. Doesn't get any more powerful than that. Jesus Christ declared that the sign to authenticate that He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, was this. You put me to death, and on the third day I will rise from the grave. Nine. In other words, the Lord made His resurrection the authenticating sign to substantiate that He is the Messiah, He is the Son of God, He is the only Savior. In other words, the Lord made His resurrection the authenticating sign to substantiate that He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior. Ten. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, then His claims to be the Messiah would be false, and His death totally in vain. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, if there's no resurrection of Christ 3 days later, then His claims to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the only Savior, would be lies, false, and His death would be in vain. 11. However, if He did rise from the grave, then He is whom He declared and claimed to be. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He did solve mankind's problem of sin on the cross. And He has the power to give anyone, any place, anywhere, the gift of eternal life who simply believes in Him. Who simply believes in Him. Point 11. However, if He did rise from the grave, then He is who He claimed to be. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He did solve mankind's problem of sin on the cross. And He does have the power to give the gift of eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Him. We started out in our first class, Romans 1:4. Who, Jesus Christ, was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. That's where we started in today in the first class. Who, Jesus Christ, was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Now God the Father is the one who designed Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation. And God the Father also planned the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And after those 3 days, the other two members of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, they were the agents that performed the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And therefore, the omnipotent God could not be thwarted by Roman soldiers standing guard, nor by a stone rolled in place to seal the tomb. When the stone was rolled away by an angel of God, 3 days after the crucifixion of Christ, it was not to let Jesus Christ out, but rather to let man in. No force in the universe, neither fallen angels nor unregenerate man, could frustrate the plan of God and the omnipotence of God. Following the crucifixion of the Son of God, Joseph of Arimathea went before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, to ask for the body of Jesus Christ, and that's in Luke 23. 50-53. Who would have believed it? Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the very body which had condemned Jesus to death. Joseph was accompanied in the task of preparing the body for burial by someone who would probably be voted least likely to succeed. His name was Nicodemus. John 19:38-42. So what irony. The disciples who had followed the Lord in public for more than 3 years, they left him. They are now in hiding. Matthew 26:56. Then all the disciples left him, left Christ, and fled. So here are these disciples. They left him. Matthew 26:56. And yet here, these two believers who had followed the Lord in darkness and in secret, now they step forward into the light to bury their crucified Messiah. They had finally realized that here at last was the long promised Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, concerning whom their own prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53:5-6, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord, God the Father, has laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. 3 days later, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and other women came to the grave. And they found the stone rolled away, and the tomb was empty. Turn over to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, we'll start at verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning. Now, these are not men. I look at you, none of you have clothes that look like lightning. These are angels. These are angels that appear as men, but they're angels. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." The resurrection of Christ. Then they remembered his words. Luke 24, verse 6, the angels declare, "He is risen." That's the announcement of victory. Today is Victory Day. Today is Resurrection Day. And with that reality, light, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Light dispelled darkness. Righteousness bested sin. Truth destroyed the lie. Life conquered death. And God defeated Satan. The full significance of the resurrection can never be understood apart from the setting in which it occurred. attention of tremendous magnitude existed between the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of God. These two historical facts are separated by only 3 days in time. But no other events in the annals of history tended as strongly in opposite directions. The cross led the followers of Christ down to the depths of utter despair and hopelessness. The resurrection lifted them up to the heights of absolute triumph and exhilaration. What they mistakenly thought was the agony of defeat became 3 days later the thrill of unchanging, unending victory. The disciples had forsaken everything and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. For 3 long, difficult years, they walked with Him, they talked with Him, they ate with Him, they were ministered to by Him. And they were convinced that He was Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And that not without reason. His credentials were impeccable. He was born at the right time, Daniel 9, 25 and 26. He was born in the right way. A virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. He was born at the right place, Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2. He was born of the right lineage, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the tribe of Judah, the family of Jesse, and David, Genesis 49:10 and 2 Samuel 7:16. His message was authoritative, John 7:46. His power was confirmative, Matthew 8:23-27. And His essence, He is the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Isaiah 9:6-7, John 8:12-20. But during those tumultuous last days, everything seemed to be falling apart. First, the people cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel," John 12:13. Then they cried out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," Mark 15:13. And within hours, He hung between heaven and earth on a Roman cross. And then He was dead and in the grave. And the disciples thought that was the end. But on the third day, He rose from the grave. He was alive, vitally, dynamically alive. He is risen. The religious leaders of Israel repeatedly asked Jesus to authenticate His ministry through a sign, a miraculous sign, a semeion. And He promised only one, "Following My death, You put Me to death. On the third day, I will rise from the grave." So men came to the grave on the third day. It should have been sealed and guarded. It wasn't. The stone should have been in place. It wasn't. Jesus should have been inside. He wasn't. The empty tomb had a message for the disciples then, as it has for us today. To science and philosophy, it says, explain this event. To history, it requests repeat this event. To time, it challenges blot out this event. But to man, it commands believe this event. It proves that Jesus Christ really is whom He said He is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior who solved mankind's problem of sin on the cross. And therefore, He offers the gift of eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believe in Him. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and matchless grace. And we thank You, sir, for the great victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. His victory on the cross, solving the world problem of sin. So that whosoever believes in Him will have the gift of eternal life and the victory over death in His resurrection from the grave. We thank You for Your magnificent grace and power as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this Easter. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.